Is that the Pittsburgh Section National Council of Jewish Women, Sylvia Sachs, talking to John. Mr. Wolf, could you tell me your name and address, please?
My name is John M. Wolf. My address is 5000 Fifth Avenue, apartment 306, Pittsburgh 15232.
I think we can just start over and do it better.
No, you can do it.
It's June 15, 1955. Sylvia Sachs and Marcy Schwartz interviewing John M. Wolf at his home on Fifth Avenue in Oakland, Pittsburgh. Mr. Wolf, we are doing a history of prominent people in Pittsburgh and their family and how their lives developed and changed and so on. So I hope you'll be able to tell us some things, starting with your own birth and something. Could you give us the name of your parents to begin with?
Yeah. My mother's name was Martha Kaufman Wolf, and my father's name was Herwin D. Wolf.
Okay. And when were you born? Do you mind telling us that?
No, I don't mind at all. I was born July 25th, 1920, almost 75 years ago.
You look wonderful, Mr. Wolf. Okay, and did you have brothers or sisters?
I had a brother, Herwin Wolf Jr., and a sister, Betty Wolf Loeb, who now resides in Birmingham.
Okay, and I believe your brother is not living?
No, my brother died about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and just to get the vital statistics, would you give me the name of your children and your wife? And your wife.
My wife's name is Leatrice K. Wolf, and this is my second wife. My first wife died about 14 years ago. Her name was Jean Gottlieb Wolf. I have four children. Betty Wolf Greenberg lives in Princeton. John M. Wolf Jr., who lives in Pittsburgh. Wendy Carolyn Wolf, who lives in Philadelphia, Wynwood, and James Henry Wolf, who lives in Pittsburgh.
Okay. What are the ages of children?
That's approximately. I would have to estimate that.
Okay.
But my daughter's age, daughter Tina, is 50. John is 49. Wendy, I think, is 46. Jimmy is 43.
And were you born in Pittsburgh, Mr. Wolf?
I was born in St. Louis, Missouri, when my family was on the way for the summer to Charlevoix, Michigan.
How do you spell Charlevoix?
I don't know. Charlevoix, I believe.
Uh-huh. Is that a...
That's a
resort?
A resort in Michigan where all the Jews from the Midwest went to spend their summers. They, at the time, were from Memphis, I believe.
Who was from Memphis?
My parents were living in Memphis.
Oh, I see. Your father was in the retail business. I remember him from Kaufman, but was he always in the retail?
His father had worked in a company called the S.L. Joseph Company in Paragould, Arkansas, and they had seven or eight stores at the time.
And what was your grandfather's name, the one that lived in Arkansas?
His name was Joseph Wolf.
There's so much to go back to. Do you know, was Joseph Wolf born in this country? Did he come
No, he was born in Mainz, Germany, and he, I guess, came to this country and ended up in San Francisco selling pants for one of the clothing makers in San Francisco.
Do you know about...
He then ended up in Paragould, Arkansas, where he met my grandmother.
That city in Arkansas, do you know how to spell that?
P-A-R-A-G-O-U-L-D.
That's a place I never heard. Sunday, how did he ever get there?
The only Sunday bridge game in town was at the Joseph's house, and that's how he met my grandmother.
And how did your grandmother get to Paragould, Arkansas? And what was her name?
Her name was Ida, probably Goldman.
E-D-D-A?
Yeah, E-D-D-A Goldman. She had an uncle by the name of J.D. Goldman in St. Louis, who was in the cotton business. They originally were in the wine business somewhere on the Rhine. Somewhere near Mainz, I really don't remember the name of the city. And Mr. J.D. Goldman came to St. Louis, proceeded to bring his nieces and nephews over.
He did not have children of his own?
He did. As a matter of fact, his daughter was married to Morton J. May, the head of the May Company.
Oh, there's a connection there. Mm-hmm. And this would have been about what?
And then they established them in stores down the river. That probably was, I don't know, 1890. My dad was born in Paragould in 1895, so it must have been around 1890.
Have you ever been to Paragould?
Certainly have.
Is it
still
on
have
map?
A cousin in Paragould.
Oh, really?
He was a mayor of Paragould.
I knew there was going to be excitement on the Kaufman side, but I didn't know there was going to be all this on the Wolf side.
A cousin by the name of Alvin Samuels. He is called Little Alvin Samuels because he's 6'4", and his father was about 5 foot.
Oh,
that was big Alvin Samuels. Also a cousin of my grandmother.
So it seems like the retail business is in your blood on both sides.
Well, the retail business was one of the businesses that Jews could get into rather easily, similar to the scrap business, scrap metal business. They could go out and sell originally with packs on their back, and later on with small stores, became large stores.
Well, I know that in a wide view, most of the big department store families in the country were Jews who formerly were, what do they call them? Peddlers, right?
Peddlers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, okay, so your father was working...
He was in the, after he was discharged from the Army, where he was a major in the Signal Corps. He went to work in St. Louis in the cotton business. He was a cotton broker for about 3 years. And then Edgar Kaufman had a falling out with his brother-in-law, Sam Mundheim, and they invited my father to come and work in the store.
And they had met maybe socially before? Or
I don't know.
I don't know his name, Sam Mundheim.
Sam Mundheim.
Would have been, how was he a brother-in-law?
My mother's elder sister was Stella Mundheim, and she was married to Sam Mundheim, who ran Kaufman's, I guess, for 10, 12 years.
One of the oldest.
Taylor Hall.
Yeah, okay.
Eric, you have the notes?
I have the answer.
A lot of these don't make a lot of noise.
Well.
I don't think.
Will be recorded if you do.
Where were you?
You were talking about Sam Munhart.
Oh, Sam Munhart.
Who ran Kaufman's. Now, that's the name that.
Sam Munhart.
Not known to me.
He was a.
What type of period?
He was in the hat business in New York before he married Stella Munhart.
Who had been Stella?
Stella Kaufman. And he was one of the leaders in the resistance to the great hat strike in New York in 1911 or 12. And then he came to Pittsburgh to become the head of Kaufman's. And he did a great deal for Kaufman's reputation and image in the community. He believed in trading up, and he was a strong influence.
That would have been after 1912, right?
Something like that.
Uh-huh.
Perhaps, I don't know.
Just to back up a little bit, what is the hat strike? That sounds fascinating.
Well, it was a
worker strike.
Hatter strike, yeah. Uh-huh. It's a hat manufacturers. I know very little about it. Perhaps at the time that Henry Kaufman sold his interest in the business, which was probably 1913 or 14, they brought Sam Munhart to Pittsburgh to run Kaufman.
Now, Henry Kaufman was your grandfather.
No, Henry Kaufman was a great uncle.
We're going to keep getting farther back, but Kaufman's, as we know at the department store, started when and who, with by him?
I think Jacob Kaufman was the first Kaufman to come over. Hold up one second, though.
You should go to the.
We want to hear it in your own words.
I came over, I had just had some other stuff done on my nose. I had their picture taken with me. So.
Oh, we
are they
would like
related?
A picture of you for our file.
I'm not going to give you that picture.
Are they related to you?
No. The Gentile women. There's a museum and here's the article written about the cop. Anyway.
These women that you mentioned, they were doing a history about the town or something, is that it?
About Fairmont, sure.
Which was, what, one of the original places of the Kaufman?
Yeah.
Anyway. You thought that Jacob, you said Jacob was the first?
I think he was the first.
Would you have any idea when he came here?
Probably 1878 or 80.
And
then, in short order, he brought his three brothers over, Isaac, Morris, and Henry. And then they brought three cousins over, hold it a moment, and I'll let you know who they were.
It's all right, we don't want to turn it off.
I, I don't know what the name of the brothers, of the cousins were, but I think they were David, Leopold, and Nathan.
Also Coffin?
Also Coffin. And a cousin by the name of Morris Baer, B-A-E-R. The Morris Baer and one of the Coffins, Theodore Coffin, started Coffin and Baer, which became Gimbels. Nathan Coffin started Coffin and Luby, which became Meyer Johnnesons. This is after they had a falling out with the Coffin brothers, the original Coffin brothers.
How did they get the name Meyer Johnnesons?
I don't know.
I remember the Meyer Johnnesons.
Oh,
but, you know,
Meyer and Johnnesons brought out Nathan Coffin, Coffin and Luby.
Oh, I see.
I assume.
Mr. Wolf, who was Theodore?
Who was he?
Theodore.
Theodore. Mm-hmm. Theodore Coffin. I think Theodore Coffin and Morris Baer were cousins. They worked in Coffin's, and they had a falling out with the Coffin's because they were on a profit bonus, and the Coffin's wanted to build escalators and reinvest in their business. And these cousins who worked for them didn't want that. As a matter of fact, they had a little side deal with a fellow by the name of Henry Oliver, who was going to build them a building at Gimbel's. And they left Coffin's, I assume on bad terms, later sued the Coffin's to try and claim that they really owned part of the business, even though they were basically employees on a profit bonus.
Henry Oliver is certainly a prominent name in Pittsburgh.
Well, he was about to build the Oliver Building, and he also built Gimbel's right across the street. In those days, merchants would tie down a corner of a block so that competitors couldn't come in. That's one of the reasons why the Jewish Community Center has a large endowment, because they owned, Henry Coffin left them 1/6 or 1/8 of the block above Coffin's, original Coffin store, on the corner of Cherry Way. Mm-hmm. And that property we converted into $1.5 million worth of endowment for the Jewish Community Center.
It's certainly, as you're carrying on the tradition, that the family was always involved in the community and in the city, and it's a very, very proud background. Before we get too far off, where was the original Coffin store?
I think it was in South Side. I believe it was in South Side.
It would just be a small, like a individual store.
I have a picture of it.
Oh, wonderful.
We get from Germany, I believe. This is the original Coffin store.
It's a sketch?
Well, it's a picture of it. Huh?
Oh, you mean that's the store in Germany?
No, that's the store in Pittsburgh.
Oh, uh-huh.
On South Side.
I think this gentleman wants to...
Can I see that? Sure, we can read the dates, but you can't read the German. Can you read German?
Oh, it's in German.
Because apparently that goes with the
1868.
Yeah, but what is?
We're trying to read this German. It says something about 1868.
1868?
Yeah.
Well, maybe he did come in over in 1868. I don't. That mean.
And that would have been Jacob, maybe.
That would have been Jacob. Jacob Cole. Because he came over in 68. And now we brought Henry about 1980.
18.
18.
Okay. So did they start in that typical way as peddlers, or
did they
didn't come with funds?
And then when they brought the brothers, they had to have
a store.
I think it started out as a men's store, men's clothing store. Then they moved to Fifth Avenue, and they built a house. Their original house, I think, was in Northside on Ridge Avenue. Then they moved to Bartlett Street. At least Morris Coffin moved to Bartlett Street, my grandfather.
And that would have been when Sproul Hill was just getting started.
That's right.
Started.
I really don't know what year they moved there. I do remember the house, so it must have been there in 1925, 1926, 1927.
And of course it's not there anymore.
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay, when did the building, the first building, Fifth and Smithfield, where Coffin's is now, when was that built or opened?
I don't really know. I do know this, when the cousins were lured away to start Kaufman and Bear, the Kaufmans had extra property along Fifth Avenue, and they wanted to double the size of their store. They were unable to borrow the money in Pittsburgh. Because of Henry Oliver's connections, none of the banks of Pittsburgh would lend them money. So they went to Chicago, borrowed the money, doubled the size of Coffin's.
Would you say that Henry at that time was the force behind it, or was he the strong one, or who would have been?
I think, you mean who was the capable merchant in the
group?
Yeah,
well, who said let's expand?
I think
expand.
It was Henry Coffin. Mm-hmm. Henry Coffin. He was the youngest and perhaps the most aggressive. So I really don't know.
Mm-hmm. And would he have been your mother and Edgar's father?
Henry Coffin was an uncle.
Oh, uncle, I'm getting.
Morris Coffin was my grandfather. I think he was pretty aggressive about expansion until he became ill and passed away in 1917, I believe.
That wouldn't have been that flu epidemic that we always
had. No, he had a heart condition. His son, Edgar Coffman Jr., married his cousin, Lillian Coffman, and then controlled the majority of stock in the store and brought in his brother-in-law, Sam Mundheim, and later on my father, Irwin Wolf, to run the business. Because Edgar had other pursuits.
Some famous, some not.
Right.
but he, my recollection of him and his reputation was that he was very community-minded, and he did put the Kaufman name, you know, in the front as far as all the community things that he was involved in, the Civic Right Opera and things like that.
Well, Edgar.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, he was very active in many things in the arts, as was his wife Lillian. She was the president of Montefiore for about 10 years before my dad was the president of Montefiore. I don't know if what I said is correct or whether it was after. I think it was before.
and his name will never be forgotten because of falling water. Right? Edgar.
Well, we're talking about Lillian Kaufman. His wife was the president of Montefiore.
Oh, his wife. I thought you said.
Lillian Kaufman.
Well, people, perfect strangers come to Pittsburgh, just go to see
Falling Water.
Falling Water, so Edgar's name and his son's name are...
Right. Edgar's son gave Falling Water to the Conservancy. And certainly is one of the outstanding houses that Frank Lloyd Wright built, and is sort of a milestone in architecture.
And so regarded.
Mm-hmm.
And back to your own personal history, your father came, was invited to come to Kaufman's by Edgar Kaufman. And
he ran Kaufman's for 30 years, I guess, till his death, 1956.
But were your parents married before this, or did he?
Yes, when they were married, and my mother, my oldest brother was born in Portland, Oregon, when my father was in the service in 1917 or 18, I guess. And then my father went to Memphis to work in the cotton business, and then he came to Pittsburgh in 1923 or 24.
And when he came to Pittsburgh, it was to be at Kaufman's.
Right.
And while he was running Kaufman, what was his title? Was Edgar still the president, or how did this come out? I remember him, but I don't remember.
I think he was the executive vice president. I really don't remember his exact title, but he ran it completely for many years.
At one point, I would like to talk to you about the change in the cast of characters in the retail business, because I remember being an extra when I was in school, and there was Mr. Hirsch, and there was Mr. So-and-so Goldberg, and it seems like the younger generation of Jewish men and women do not go into retailing. Have you noticed that? The people who are now...
Well, I think that they get an education, and now they're doctors and lawyers,
mm-hmm.
and scientists, etc. And I see very few in the retail business.
Mm, I've noticed that.
There's some.
Okay. Now, about your own life.
Right.
You were born in 1920, I think you said?
Right.
Okay. And where did you...
Came to Pittsburgh in 1923 or 24. My parents built a house in Fox Chapel in 1928, I guess. 29. Before that, they lived on Inverness. For a year, we lived in the Shenley Apartments while the house was being built, when we moved to Fox Chapel.
Fox Chapel must have been country at that point, was it not?
It was. It was, I think, the only other two houses out there were Edgar Kaufman. There was another house, Dr. McCaig and Irving Lehman had a house. I think there were four houses on the top of Pasadena Drive.
Why have you any idea why, your parents chose to go out there? Was it that they wanted...
I think they liked the countryside. Why do people want to go out to Fox Chapel today?
Well, it's, of course, very built up and very
it's
social.
It's much more developed than it was in those days.
Would that have been a large house, a large ground?
Oh, it was a big house with 9 acres, probably 6 bedrooms, three-car garage in those days.
And that's where you and your brother and sister grew up, right?
Right.
So, where did you go to school? Was there a school?
Oh, well, I went to Aspinwall to grade school, I guess. And then when I got to be about 10, I developed asthma, hay fever, asthma, and they originally tried to send me to San Antonio, where my parents had rented a house for a winter. It was a total flop because I was very allergic to whatever was around San Antonio. So my mother put me on a train out to Arizona, and they put me in a school in Arizona for 2 years. And then they switched me to